Tyler Brownville is one of Savannah's oldest African-American neighborhoods, and it earned its official historic status 2 decades ago. But since then, over 100 historic properties there have been demolished, including at least 8 neighborhood homes dating back to the late 19th and early 20th centuries. One group working to prevent more demolitions is the Historic Savannah Foundation. President and CEO Daniel Carey joins us now. Hi, Daniel.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. Also with us by Skype is Amy Bragg, who is president of Preservation Detroit. Detroit, of course, a city that has had its own experiences with historic preservation, and in particular in historic African-American neighborhoods. We're going to compare some notes with Amy. Thanks for being here.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Daniel, just briefly tell us a little bit about this neighborhood in Savannah.
It's about a half square mile, bordered by MLK and Ogeechee Road and Victory Drive and 37th Street. It's traditionally working class, African Americans. A lot of them worked in the Central of Georgia Railroad shops up the way a little bit, and is a great representative neighborhood for vernacular architecture and just good, solid working class housing.
What kind of houses? I mean, describe things for us.
Well, as you pointed out, historically, they're late 19th, early 20th century, wood frame, very small, modest cottages, but a number of shotguns as well. And as you said, the area was listed in the National Register of Historic Places, and it has local designation as well, both important.
Sure. So does the Savannah is obviously, you know, one of the great national success stories in historic preservation, and yet that success has not come without struggle, even in the most elite fancy neighborhoods of Savannah that were inhabited by very, very wealthy people, generally white people, slave-owning people. When we look at historic African-American neighborhoods, are there particular preservation challenges there?
I really don't think they're any different. There was plenty of blight in downtown Savannah back in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, and the same in the Victorian District, same in Thomas Square. And that is what we're just really fully recognizing and addressing now in the late 20th century, early 21st century in Kyler Brownville. It's just taken a while to get there. But Kyler Brownville doesn't look that much different than downtown looked 50 years ago.
Amy Bragg with Preservation Detroit, how is what you're hearing about in Savannah compared to your experiences doing preservation in Detroit?
Well, it's a pretty similar set of challenges, although Detroit has, you know, unique historical reasons for struggling with some of the blight and demolition that we've seen in recent years. Detroit was hit very hard by the recession in 2009 and is still in many areas struggling to recover. We find that historic districts tended to weather that recession a little better. Property values tended to stay more stable in those neighborhoods, and the integrity of the buildings tended to hold up pretty well. But, you know, Detroit is still struggling with economic woes, and homeowners still find it difficult to maintain their properties in some cases. So that's true in both, you know, relatively well-to-do neighborhoods as well as it is in more economically depressed areas. So, you know, in the same vein, the city is working on a really massive blight removal campaign that's been underway for the past several years. The city is on track to demolish as many as 10,000 houses in the next 2 years. And you know, in the preservation community, there are concerns about that. Certainly, there are a number of blighted structures that are too far gone to save and present, you know, safety hazards and quality of life issues in neighborhoods. But that can also lead to kind of a massive demolition first strategy that, you know, we have concerns could lead to the loss of historic integrity that is really hard to bring back once you tear it down.
There can't even be resistance among the residents of a neighborhood to having their neighborhood be designated officially historic. Tell us about this sort of landowner theory wherein historic designation is considered too costly for creating too much red tape.
Well, in Detroit, there are a few different places where this resistance comes from. There are neighborhoods in Detroit where the residents tend to be a little less well off. They worry about the cost of doing historically appropriate repairs to their buildings. You know, when you live in a historic district, you have to follow a certain set of standards about, you know, your window treatments or your roof or the colors that you paint your house. And people can, you know, they worry that that will lead to extra expenses for maintaining their property. You know, preservation has proven to have a long-term economic payoff. When you make an investment in the historic integrity of your neighborhood, your property values tend to stay stronger, and the quality of life in your neighborhood tends to be better. But for people who are struggling, that argument doesn't hold a lot of water in all cases. So there are individual neighborhoods in Detroit that have resisted historic designation or who are not interested in becoming historic neighborhoods. And personally, I think that's an okay choice. If your neighborhood gets together and says, you know what, we've looked at the pros and cons, this isn't really right for where we are today, that's a choice that a neighborhood gets to make, and that's great. There are other ways to preserve buildings beyond that historic designation locally. You know, the other place that this comes from, which is a little more, I don't want to say nefarious, but is a little different set of interests, is on a statewide level, there has been resistance to the whole concept of local historic districts. Michigan was one of a few states a couple of years ago that was exploring the possibility of eliminating local historic district local historic district protection altogether. The theory being that, you know, property owners have unlimited rights to do whatever they want with the buildings that they own, and that historic district and other restrictive zoning codes get in the way of a property owner's right to do what they feel is appropriate to their building. So there was a statewide effort legislatively to eradicate historic district protection across the state. You know, that failed in committee, and we are staying vigilant. We don't expect that to come back to the Senate anytime soon, but it was a really serious threat to the whole existence of the historic district protocol in Michigan.
But going back to Daniel Carey, president of Historic Savannah Foundation, this neighborhood that has occasioned this conversation, Kyler Brownsville, historic African-American neighborhood in Savannah, this has been officially designated a historic neighborhood for quite some time, and yet there have been so many demolitions in recent years. So even getting historic designation is not a lock on the neighborhood actually being preserved in perpetuity, right?
That's right. It's not a single-handed panacea. It is a tool for revitalization, though, because there are incentives associated with being a historic neighborhood and having a property in the National Register. And those incentives are tax credits at the federal level, state level, and property tax abatement at the local level. And those are all intended to just level the playing field between demolition and rehabilitation. And we think that rehabilitation is a viable alternative to demolition, and those incentives can be used to facilitate that rehabilitation.
In the last 20 seconds that we have here, Daniel Carey, what more can be done to make sure that more of Kyler Brownsville survives?
It really requires political leadership from the city of Savannah. They've got to reduce crime over there. They've got to increase job opportunities and then just not default to demolition when faced with difficult challenges.
That's Daniel Carey, president and CEO of the Historic Savannah Foundation. We also spoke with Amy Bragg, president of Preservation Detroit. Thanks to you both.
Thank you.